The reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and can be found on page 1083 of your pew Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, whilst every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learnt from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray. Father, any words I say that are not of you, but of my own vanity, may you forgive. Any words I say that are of you, may you bless. Bless us now, Lord, to hear from you and be guided by your Spirit. Amen. First of all, thank you. Thank you for taking part in my little exercise over there, asking you guys what love is. And I think the first thing to say is, those things are all great. They are all good things, things we should do. But I don't think they in themselves show love. Or at least love as we perhaps understand it. If I hug someone, it doesn't necessarily mean I love them. If I buy them a gift, it shows I like them, but it doesn't always show I love them. If I run errands, do any of the things you've talked about, they're all good and great things we should do, but they don't in themselves show love. Love, in one way, is so much more complicated than that, but also so much more simple. And I think the best way to get across that is with a story. When I was younger, and I came home from school, I would get in, drop my bag off, and I'd go and see my mum. She would be in the kitchen usually, ironing, cooking, doing those sort of things, listening to heart radio. I'd give her a hug, say hello, and then I would do something a bit strange. I would jump up onto the side, I won't do this on a communion table, that looks very bad, and I would just sit there. Sometimes we'd talk, but not always. I might read a book, be on a phone, but I would just simply sit and be in her presence. I would sit near her. She knew I was there, I knew she was there, but we just sat. She carried on doing what she did, but I was with her. At the weekends, I did the same with my dad. He would be out in the cupboard way, painting models, building models, making stuff. And I would sit by the window so I could see him, and he could see me. I would be making models myself, doing my own thing, but I was close to him, and he was close to me. As I've gotten older, my niece does that to me. I'll be in my room, on my desk, doing anything, answering emails, writing. She'd come up with some Barbies, some dolls, and just sit near me. And she'd just play. She might say hello, but that'd be about it. If I moved downstairs, she would follow. She does the same with my mum, her nana, and my dad, her grandfather. She just wants to be near them. And I wonder, what is the unifying factor in all those stories? Well, love. Love is often shown in remaining in the presence of those who we love. If I love someone, I want to be around them. I want to be near them. Like I said, love is complicated. It involves things like the gifts, forgive, hugs, being nice, and those are great and really important, but it is also so much more simple. Simply being with, remaining close to those who you love. It's much more simple than we give it credit for at times. Just being. And Jesus talks a lot about being. In this passage, Jesus starts off talking about himself being the vine and his Father being the gardener. But then he moves on from that and talks about himself being the vine and you and I being the branches. He is saying that we are all connected to him. Through faith, we are a part of him. The vine feeds the branches. They carry nutrients up from the ground through to the branches so that they can grow and so that they can bear fruit. And I wonder, how often do we think of Jesus as our nutrient provider? The vine, our own vine, the one who provides for us so that we can bear fruit. And when we're thinking about the idea of fruit, what kind of fruit are we thinking about? I'd argue that what kind of fruit we produce is just as important if we produce fruit at all. You wouldn't expect a grapevine to produce strawberries. And in the same way, if we're following Jesus, if he is our vine, and people look at us, we wouldn't expect them to grow fruit and to excel at things which perhaps don't point to him. But this passage also talks about pruning. Now, when I think of pruning, I think of a thing I witnessed, basically. I went to a garden, and there was a lovely rose bush there, and a gardener came up to it, and to my uneducated eyes, I thought he just killed it. It was just all gone, nothing left. And I was like, there's some very lovely flowers there, that looked quite nice. But to my uneducated eye, I thought it was dead. But the gardener was far more clever than I am. He knew something about it. He cut off the good plants, the things that looked beautiful, so that they would grow. So that the tree, well, the bush, would grow more beautiful and bigger than ever before. And I think with Jesus talking about pruning us, we have to take that in the same light. That sometimes the things in our life, which might look good, which might look great, might make us happy, sometimes we pruned. Not just because God likes doing that, because he wants them to grow bigger. He wants them to point to him. He wants them to be more fruitful, as it says in verse 2. And the point of the fruit is to show the world, those around us, that we are following God, as it says in verse 8. Our own fruit has to show the world that we are following Jesus. So like I said earlier, what does your fruit show? Who does it show who you're following? Does your fruit point to God, point to people to see him, so they see the love of God in you, and in turn see God's glory shown through you? Or are we away from him, as it says? Are we distant from God, as this passage says, and so is our fruit wither and die? And while bearing fruit and working out what kind of fruit we bear is all important, I don't want to take away from the passage the fact that we are called to remain in Jesus. Remain in him. We can only bear good fruit if we are part of that vine by remaining in Jesus. Verse 9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." I have talked a lot about remaining in Jesus and bearing fruit and being pruned and how we need to show that we're his disciples, and it all sounds rather one-sided, that we're doing all the work. But this verse tells us that isn't the case at all. Jesus loves us with the same love the Father has for the Son. Notice that the passage doesn't say, "Remain in my love, and then I will love you as my Father has loved me." No. It starts with the fact that Jesus loves us and that he calls us to be with him, to remain in him, and to be a part of that love. And I think this passage tells us we remain in Jesus' love by following his commands. Now, this isn't a do as I say, not as I do kind of a command. No, Jesus says, "You will remain in my love if you keep my commands just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." We are called in one way to mirror the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. They love each other. Jesus obeys his Father in heaven. And everyone can see that Jesus is doing his Father's will through his actions. People look at him and see God. And so in the same way, we are to show that we are followers of Jesus through remaining in him, following his commands. And what is Jesus' command? Well, verse 12 tells us, love each other as I have loved you. And while that can sound easy at times, is it? Is it in fact easy for you to love every single person you meet? Every person you have to deal with on a daily basis, your boss. Hi, Dan. Everyone you love. Jokes. I like my boss very much. Where was I? That was completely off the cuff. I just saw Dan. I was like, oh, I'll say that. You know. Sorry. Where was I? Yeah, can you love everyone? Your boss, the neighbor who's annoying, who doesn't put their own bins away and leaves yours out, whatever it may be. Can you love every single person easily? I'll take it a step further. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. But it isn't just foreshadowing his death. It is also a command. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest act of love that anyone can do for someone is to die for them. And Jesus is saying he will die for them. And in turn, he will die for us. But Jesus is also saying, you are my friends if you follow my commands. So we are also called to love those people who follow Jesus' commands. Love them the same way that he loves us, that God loves you. We should love those people who follow Jesus' commands in the same way that he loved them, loves us, and went to the cross for us. Love each other with sacrificial love. Love them because since they follow Jesus, he loves them and died for them. No pressure. Love isn't easy, but by remaining in Jesus, we can be close to him. By being close to him, it gets easier. By letting him be the source of nutrients in our life, the one who we are a part of his vine, we are able to love. The ability to love the unlovable and the simple. The ability to forgive the unforgivable and the easy. Loving each other isn't just about doing these things, but it also is. It's also simply about being a part of Jesus, a part of those who we love, being a part of those people in our community who we may not like but will love, not because it's easy, but because it's hard, and because Jesus calls us to do it. So remain in Jesus. There are many ways we can do that. Sung worship, like we've been doing, Bible study, prayer, communion, fellowship with each other. The list goes on. There are so many ways our God wants to encounter us. Remain close to him because you want to love him better, because you want to love as he loves. It's often said that the longest distance in the body isn't from the top of your head to your toes, but from your head to your heart. When I asked you at the beginning of the service how you show love, you all gave me these great answers. Hugs, be nice to those who are struggling, be kind, give gifts, tell them you love them. And the same way, remaining in Jesus isn't just about doing Bible study, coming to church just because they're a good idea, but coming to it because you want to, because you want to know Jesus better, because you want to love better. If you did those things without love, you'd be fooling yourself. And in the same way, if you come to church without trying to love God better, love his people better, you're also fooling yourself. Now, some of you here may find that hard, the idea of remaining in Jesus. Some of you may not know how to do that, or even if you want to. And that's okay. Let's walk that road together. I came to faith at 16. I had no idea what it meant to be a Christian, what remaining in Jesus meant. People walked it with me. They held my hand, told me about God's love, showed me it. I experienced it through people. Not when they told me off, that came later, but by just simply loving me for who I was in my own state. And the same is true for us. Love each other because God loves you, and because you have to, because God loves you even more than that. So let's walk that road together. Walk it as a family. We sing so often a very good Wren Collective song. In unity we'll stand as one, as a family we'll go, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, into the great unknown. We sing that often, but do we mean it? Do you mean it? Galatians says, you are my children, sorry, you are God's family through Jesus. Which means if I'm part of God's family because I love Jesus, he is my brother. If you love Jesus, you become my brothers and sisters. And it's the same for every person here. You are one big family. As my mum will always tell me, you don't have to like family, but you have to love them. And so love him. Love each other. With sacrificial love. Not because it's easy. Because he first loved us and wants us to remain in him. This is my command, he said. Love each other.